Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Capital City Football Podcast. I'm Tom Rackers, and I'm here with Capital City beat writer Adam Finer. And before Adam and I talk about last week's game at Winnetonka and tonight's game at Kirksville, let's listen to a little bit of his conversation with Capital City head coach Joe Collier.
Okay, injury front-wise, talk about Ethan's status. Any other injuries we should know about?
No, Ethan is the only one that's is injured now. We got pretty much everybody back healthy. We're able to get Taggart back, Bovenstadt, and okay. And Upchurch, Damon Upchurch. We were able to get those guys back at DB, so we get a little bit more depth at DB, back to status quo there. So feel good about it. I mean, just in time because we got another team that, you know, likes to get the ball in the air. So
yeah,
it's good to have some depth there.
Yeah. If you had to label Ethan's status questionable?
Definitely, like, he's out. So
okay.
He's not all questionable right at all. So.
Okay. So that clears up the backfield situation a little bit, I would guess. It's been kind of backfield by committee. It seems like it's been a different back every game. Can we expect Andrew and Philip to kind of get the bulk, or could Ian get some run?
Yeah, we're gonna see. It's going to be pretty much – we have running backs, so we're going to do that by committee, give guys a shot at it. Actually, Hurley is, he's three games in, so right. I feel good about, you know, him getting the ball also. So, we're gonna pretty much do it by committee. We have different backs that can do different things for us, so we're going to try to use them.
When you take a look at Kirksville on film, you kind of reference the passing game a little bit.
Right.
Anything else stand out to you?
Just offenses, you have to play assignment football with them. Everybody has to be in their place defensively. They play tough. Everybody's warm to the ball. So, we're looking to take what they give us and travel down the field with that.
Give me some keys to this game.
Play with heart. Just play. You know, it's gonna be some adversity. We just need to stay the course and not get so down, not get so up about what's going on, and just really just play. And so that's been the going message all year. And we make little strides, and then every once, you know, and sometimes we like, what are we doing? Like, you know, we implode in front of our eyes. So, the message this week is just play through. Just see it through. Whatever happens, see it through and just play hard and see what happens.
Okay, that was Capital City head coach Joe Collier. Adam, let's just start back with last week. You know, Winnetonka, a long trip. Their longest trip of the year, I'm going to assume.
Yep.
Just in general, how did it go?
So, really, I think Coach Collier said it all in the postgame. It was disappointing, you know, especially coming off the Smith-Cotton game where you see really all three phases come together and play well. I mean, as good as a game that they've played all season, they really put everything together, Smith-Cotton. So then to come out in week 8 against Winnetonka, who is a beatable team, quite honestly, just from my observation, didn't really do anything special but won jump balls. Would throw these long, kind of, they'd look like grenades, kind of going through the air, and they'd just run under them. So it was a winnable game, and I think Joe was pretty disappointed, and I think he's right. He was rightfully disappointed with their performance last week.
Do you think that was something Winnetonka saw, or is that Winnetonka's offense?
I think it's something they saw,
okay,
quite honestly. Now, are they pretty explosive through the air? Yes. Do they have a good quarterback? Yes. Do they have a kid going to Iowa State next year? Yes. All right. But when a sophomore speedster is beating you all the time, who is really, you know, he's shown flashes, but has not consistently done it throughout the year, it's something they saw in Capital City's pass defense, where Kansas City center in week two lit them up pretty good.
Yeah.
And they said, well, they've got some injuries possibly. They're pretty young back there. Our guys are pretty experienced for the most part. We can exploit that. And the game plan was simple from the start, really, for Winnetonka. It's give our guys a chance. Our guys won most chances. Yeah. That's how it ends up 47-21.
Yeah, playmakers make plays, and yes. They had their playmakers make plays.
Yep.
How about offensively? What did you think?
I thought they appeared pretty competent, quite honestly. They continued what they did against Smith Cotton for the most part. Now, passing game stepped a little bit back. Obviously, the defensive backs from Winnetonka step up for sure from the ones they saw against Smith Cotton.
Yeah.
So you take a step up in class there. Running the ball, really saw some good things. Phillip Richardson, as a sophomore, has stepped in nicely in Ethan Wood's absence due to an ankle injury. He's shown flashes. Andrew Beanland has shown flashes. I know Coach hinted at Hurley Jacobs getting some run this week. You've got Ian Nelson, who has experience too. So running the ball, you feel pretty good about it. And even if they can get some short completions, and what I would like to see them do is really start to push the ball down the field, like yeah. they kind of started to do against Elias, yeah. like they started to do against Smith Cotton. Now, last week, you took a couple deep shots, all right? So I think in the game plan, you got to have at least 3 to 5 of those deep shots, 20, 30 yards down the field, ball in the air, not just, you know, run after the catch. Mm-hmm. You got to have those plays drawn up into the play chart to see if you can get the defense to open up a little bit for your running game.
Yeah, you and I have talked about that Elias game. You know, I covered that game for
yep.
us. And but now we'll talk about it a little bit more in a more public setting. I thought that game, they threw the ball deep more than I expected. And really, they were just, you know, a catch or, you know, a step away from breaking 2 or 3 20-yard passes. And I thought, well, here they're starting to develop something. And maybe is that still going or... You know, it was just a little bit, I think the receivers needed a little more experience. Now, are they getting that and things are getting better in that regard?
I think so. You're seeing guys emerge. Robert Gray has really stepped up as a junior. Cameron Harrison stepped up big against Smith Cotton. He's shown flashes, but no catches last week.
Yeah.
Ethan Otto's been a consistent performer in those short to intermediate routes. You have seen the offense open up a little more. And I think after you start 0-5, you really, not to say you get desperate, but you kind of play a little more free. It's
yeah.
kind of like, hey, let's see if we can do this aspect. Because they proved that, well, defenses proved that they can stop the short to intermediate passing and just get them behind the sticks a little bit. Whereas if they open it up a little more, it's going to open up running lanes. It's going to open up those short to intermediate routes a little more. And that's something that, quite honestly, should continue.
Yeah, to me it was just like kind of an execution thing. It's just maybe running the reps, getting it done,
yep.
and then you're kind of a more diversified offense and making them harder to stop.
Yes, absolutely. Because obviously you don't really want to be one-dimensional.
No.
Okay, that's just not going to work.
Yeah, not
to
at the this level of football.
No. Correct. And really, kind of what they were doing in the passing game is treating it as an extension of the run game with swing passes or bubble screens or these short little, you know, hitch routes. Well, that's not really getting the defense to open up. That way, the safety sinks down more. Cornerbacks are able to press your guys a little more. They're not going to respect you going deep. Whereas I've seen opposing cornerbacks in the last 2 weeks really start to back off. Play instead of where they were playing 5 yards off, in weeks 1 through 5,
yeah.
now they're playing 7 to 10 and yeah. giving guys the respect that they have deserved.
Okay, let's take a look at tonight's game at Kirksville. As an old guy around here, I've seen Kirksville back in the NCMC days.
Yep.
I think this might be one of the better Kirksville teams in a few years. You know, they beat state-ranked Mexico.
Yep.
Obviously, Hannibal's going to be Hannibal, but you know they could very well be the second best team in the conference. What have you seen about the Tigers?
I think they are the second best team. I think they proved that, especially the last 2 weeks. You know, Fulton's down, but to blank them and win a game that was it looked like a mud bowl,
yeah.
quite honestly. And then to beat state ranked Mexico,
yeah.
That's a quality win. And yeah, like you said, Hannibal's not going to be challenged by many this year. I really like their offense. You know, Isaac Danielson as a junior is really taking the reins at quarterback. True dual threat guy. Can really hurt you through the air. So that's going to be an emphasis this week for Capital City's pass defense. And can also hurt you on the ground, too. So if you kind of limit the quarterback as to what he can do, if you want to take away the pass, you may set yourself up to get hurt by the run. But if you can almost make him one-dimensional, and I would try to take away the pass if you can and make him into more of a runner, I think Capital City may stand a chance in playing kind of a low-scoring game.
Yeah, make them make plays.
Right.
You know, especially on the ground. Make them try to grind out it, because it's hard to grind out yards all the time. And, and to me, that would be my strategy, too, as a defense, and especially that would be what I want for my offense as well.
Right.
Make them make plays.
Yep. And you have not seen a lot of teams be able to grind against Capital City. One, because they're able to hit a big play. Okay, they haven't really needed to grind out possessions against Capital City's defense. But when teams have had to in stretches, they really haven't been able to. You haven't seen many 10-play 80-yard drives or 12-play 75-yard scoring drives against them. So the game plan has to be, look, we'll let you have the 5-yard completion. We can't have you get the 25-yard completion. Yeah. Or we'll let you have the 3-yard run or even 10-yard run. We're not going to have you have the 75-yard run or 50-yard run.
This week last year was Capital City's lone win.
Yes.
First of all, I think it was 13-7.
Yes.
If I remember correctly.
Yep.
You know, obviously that gave them some confidence, something to build on. What are they looking to get out of this week 9?
It's, you know, I got the sense that obviously, yes, they are coming in with confidence. Obviously, yes, they want to win. But really, if they can get back to trending up, because in the first 5 weeks, you just, it was middling, you're kind of trending down, maybe vibes, spirits are a little down. Well, in week 6 against Elias, you kind of figured something out, okay? You play them to 10-0 at half. Yes, you end up losing 30-0, but you kind of found some things and figured some things out in that game. Obviously, week 7, you're trending upwards with the win against Smith Cotton. This last week, you're kind of trending down again, okay?
Yeah.
I think you want to, you know, to go back to the old adage, you want to take steps forward, not steps back. You know, if they can lose a close game or they can figure some things out offensively, lose a shootout, I hate the moral victory thing.
Yeah.
As a being a coach myself, I hate moral victories. Okay? I'll get that on the record. But you can take positives going into the postseason.
Yeah.
Okay? It is, with a program only being in its second year of varsity play, you have to focus on taking steps forward. You'll drive yourself nuts focusing on win and loss column.
All right, so step forward, step backward. Time for the prediction. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
It's got to be a step forward.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, pass defense, it couldn't get much worse than last week, just because you wanted Tonka had the athletes. It was some inexperience. You're getting two defensive backs in seniors back for this one. You have to take subs back. Quite honestly, I agree with you. From what I've heard, from what I've got as far as stats, Kirksville is tough this year.
Yeah.
I see it being a game that's into the third quarter, and maybe Kirksville starts to pull away. You know, I could see it being a 34-21 final, if I had to put a score on it. I think Capital City's going to be able to score. Kirksville's allowed something like 23 points a game, and they aren't playing the type of quality opponents that Capital City is throughout the year. And I think they've figured things out offensively. So I see it 34-21 Kirksville. Cavaliers, feel free to prove me wrong.
All right, I think that'll do it for this week. For Adam Finer, I'm Tom Rackers. Thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.